You're listening to the Uncool Designer Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dower. I'm a graphic designer, mentor, e-course boss, and cake lover. I am determined to help designers work smarter and not harder in their design businesses. Hey everyone, it's Anna here from the Uncool Designer Podcast. Today I am chatting with Rhodesia Jackson. Rhodesia and I have worked together over the last maybe 3 or 4 years. Rhodesia's done pretty much all of my e-courses, I think. It's been so lovely to see her grow over the years from someone who was quite shy and reserved to someone who is now recording professional videos and selling e-courses. Rhodesia, say hi and let everyone know what you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rhodesia. Yes, I'm very shy and introverted, so this is different for me. I'm the owner of Rhodesia Designs, which is a web design and branding studio. I live in Boston and I focus primarily on inclusive practices with my clients. So what that means is like every part of the design process, development process, I try to make sure I'm implementing inclusive processes and inclusive ideas. So making sure I'm prioritizing diverse representation and accessibility.
And which I think is so important, but to be completely honest, when we start talking about inclusion, it kind of freaks me out because I freak out that I'm not doing the right thing and I'm not including everyone and I'm not doing enough. And when I get in that freak out, it kind of makes me just want to be quiet, which I know is not the right thing to do. So when we're talking about inclusion, who are we talking about? Who is everyone that we need to take into consideration?
Yeah, I don't think there's a need to be nervous. I think you just have to realize like everyone has some part of their identity that is marginalized. So if you think about it that way, those are the people who need to be protected and who need to be advocated for. And people have this idea in their head that it's all about race, but like really that isn't true. It could be about so many different things. Inclusivity, When I talk about it, is like queer people, older adults, people living with disabilities, fat folks, folks without homes, like everyone who is not like your average default white, thin, male, cisgendered person. So you want to make sure that you're taking these folks into consideration and letting them know like, hey, I see you. I'm not erasing your existence. I care about you and your well-being and the fact that you exist and I appreciate you and I want you to be celebrated. And making sure that you're essentially just showing up for these people and advocating for them and using your voice.
I think we all want to do that. We're just not probably sure how to do it. So how do we do that in our design businesses? Like, what can we do to make our voice heard in a way that it's inclusive and makes everyone feel like they're seen? Because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely overwhelming at times. Like, even I, this is something I'm so passionate about, but even I, for different groups that I'm not part of, I'll sometimes forget things. Like if I'm doing alt tags on Instagram when you're posting, I might forget and then I have to delete it and do it. Things like that. So trying to make sure you're thinking of how would someone else who experiences the world in a different way, whether it's because of their living with a disability or whether they're a different race or a different gender or anything else like that, how they experience the world and how I can make that less uncomfortable and make that more shaped to fit them. So making sure you're thinking about, as far as like design business, when it comes to advocating for inclusivity for others, especially to your clients, like clients might not think about that, but bringing it up is just one way to put that seed into their mind and make them think, huh, maybe I should consider this more often. And that can also spread to one more person and another person. It kind of is this effect where so many people are getting affected by it that it's really making a difference in the world. It's changing the world for the better. And you have that responsibility to use your voice to do that, especially if you're not part of some of these marginalized groups. Like you can advocate for folks or people of color, you advocate for folks with a disability by just making sure you're saying something and standing up for those who are marginalized.
And how do we do that? Like, in a way that's like practical to implement? Do we talk about it on social media? Do we take note of stock imagery that we're using? Do we? And the thing that kind of overwhelms me is people that are hearing impaired and have visual impairment. Like, how do we include them?
Yes. So that's big on, like, when it comes to videos and photos and things like that. For folks with hearing impairments, making sure you have captions on all your videos is super important. Mm-hmm. There's so many tools out there, websites that you can look up that will add subtitles to your videos. Something easy I get to use is called capwing.com. They have like a free option to add subtitles and captions to your videos without adding their brand into it, which is really nice to them. And being able to add those there makes that accessible to them, or using like a podcast. You have a podcast, so that's perfect. The perfect way to get in front of folks with hearing or visual impairments, because they don't have to read through a blog or anything else like that. They're able to consume your content in a way that is comfortable for them. You think about it that way, just trying to make sure there's as many different ways to consume your content that as many different people can consume it.
When it comes to stock imagery, where do we find inclusive imagery? Because it can be
it's
a struggle.
Horrible.
But I have noticed it has gotten better in the last few months, but it's still not easy.
No, it's a lot of digging. So like even when I was working corporate, I would, as a designer, the marketing designer, I would like pop in photos that were inclusive because that's just how I was. And no one's going to be like, I don't think we should have a photo of a Black person in there. Like, no one's going to say that's me. So of course I'm just going to do it. And no one's going to say anything. So then I'm doing my little part to impart some more inclusivity and diversity into the marketing for different tech companies and real estate, because no one's going to say, oh, we shouldn't have this person in there. Like, no one's going to say that's me. That's too confrontational.
Yeah.
Like being able to add them in, it was always horrible to search for them because it takes so long. Because if you were to go to iStock or one of the popular stock photo sites and you were to type in woman yoga, you're going to find a bunch of thin white women doing yoga. And like, that's not the reality. So many different people do yoga. Like, those aren't the only people who exist in the world. So you have to make sure you're using your search terms properly. If you want a Black woman, you have to type in Black woman, unfortunately. Like, that's where we're at in the world these days. I have a couple sites that I like to use a lot because I know what kind of photos they're going to show me. Like, I have a subscription with creatorsock.com. I've had it for a couple years, and they have constantly updated photos of Black women living full, vibrant lives, doing all sorts of different things, like whether it's exercising, hanging out with friends, doing yoga, doing spiritual practices, like with crystals and tarot cards, and it's everything. So like the way that media and stock photo sites portray the world is like white people are doing everything. White, thin people are doing everything.
White, blonde, thin people.
White, blonde,
they're
thin
doing
people
it
doing
all.
Everything.
They're eating salads.
Is off somewhere. I don't know. Disappearing. Another site which has like Black people is nappy.co. They have great photos as well. And then also Body Liberation stock is all fat people, which I love using because they have them living full, vibrant lives. As a fat person myself, I hate seeing fat or photos of plus size people or fat feet people, and they look like they're miserable. Like, that's not the reality of my life.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Yes.
Like, you can be happy and eat and not look like you're eating a donut and 15 of them. Like, you just eat, I don't know, whatever you want. It doesn't have to look like some weird, sad photo. Just people living and living full, vibrant lives is what is stopping the powers that be from making life look like you have to be a certain way to live happily. And that's what you're doing when you're making things more inclusive.
And it's probably Like, honestly, I feel like in 2020, a lot of this came to the surface where we probably didn't even realize how non-inclusive we have been being up until this point, and how kind of brainwashed we have been, as in we only see these types of people doing these types of things, and, you know, and it's all that kind of society standard that we've just accepted as truth over the years. And it freaking blows your mind. You're like, well, no wonder I feel like shit, because society's been telling me for a billion years that, you know, fat is bad. You shouldn't, you know what I mean?
It's like this messaging that we're brainwashed with, telling us that there's something wrong with us, whether it's older adults, like, telling that you have to be young, especially for women, like, you have to stay young forever or there's something wrong with you. And you have to be thin or else there's something wrong with you. You have to be light or white or there's something wrong with you. All these messages telling you that there's something wrong with you has to be fixed. It's like all these things like makeup. I love makeup myself, but makeup website, makeup companies and skincare companies and weight loss companies are all telling you there's something wrong with you, and that's how they sell you things.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what it all comes down to.
It's good to wake up and actually see that. And it's, like you said before, it's up to us to start planting the seeds of that is not the story. That is not the truth. It's a story they've been telling us, but it's not the real story. And it's time for us to start making up a new story. And it does just take one person, one designer, to change something in their design business and then educate their clients. And then their clients will go out and educate more people. And hopefully, you know, we'll make a difference over time.
I was just saying, as designers, like, we're able to impact so many different industries because we work in so many different industries. Like, making those changes in ads, commercials, iterations, like magazines, anything can change the narrative for someone not having to see themselves as being like othered or erased.
And like when we see ourselves in something, like for me, something that kind of was empowering for me was seeing Tess Holliday on the cover of a family magazine. Because for me, I always felt like, as a mother, as a parent, being fat was irresponsible and it made you a bad parent. And
my heart's broken.
You know, you weren't a good example for your children. But actually seeing her on the cover of a family magazine with her children was kind of really validating for me. And that's the power that we have for other people, to validate their existence.
Yes, showing you that it's okay to be exactly how you are and live your life exactly how you want to live it and be happy and, you know, yeah, that's the purpose, to be happy in your life the way you want.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you're not broken.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But
breaking,
it's funny,
my heart.
But honestly, it's not something I really consciously thought about, but it was there subconsciously. Like, and then when I saw her on the magazine, it was like, whoa, I can't believe I had those subconscious thoughts. And it's shit that society was feeding me.
Yeah, like, of all the things you're gonna worry about, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, another unhealthy thing you could be doing to your kids is, you know, promoting diet culture and giving them eating disorder. Like, you don't, that, to me, that's worse, but like,
yes,
you don't want that. Like, no. That's an illness that will follow them forever. Or you could treat them with love and respect and tell them that they're beautiful the way they are.
Like I mentioned before, over the last probably 6 months in 2020, a lot of big companies, a lot of entrepreneurs have been called out for not being inclusive in their business. And even on a smaller scale, how do you handle it if you screw up? Like, maybe you post a meme that you don't realize is offensive to some people, or you use a GIF or a term that offends people and you get called out for it. How do you deal with that?
So I actually wrote a whole blog about what to do when you screw up as a business owner and how to apologize appropriately. Just after seeing so many leaders or self-described leaders in a lot of communities online, specifically on Facebook, just really messing up by deleting people's posts and people's comments, bringing up irrelevant details about the George Floyd protests, bringing up things like property damage, like that's more important than people's lives. and really just like not being there for their, you know, followers or audience of color or Black audience, like ignoring our existence, because we obviously exist in all these spaces, and just telling us that like we're not welcomed here because this is how you're standing here, telling us that property is worth more than our lives. Everything happened here kind of made people really divided, but the way these people were messing up made me realize that people aren't really sure how to apologize, because sometimes they would apologize and they burst into tears on the video. And I'm like, oh, this is not about you and your feelings.
Yes.
Please don't cry right now. This is not about you and your white tears. Please stop. It was just so, and I, if I saw tears, I just closed the video because I'm like, I'm not, I can't, this isn't about you. Like essentially I learned how to apologize appropriately. I say, not for my parents, my mom. I learned it from Brené Brown because she has this really great, I think it's a podcast she did a while back about how to apologize appropriately. And that's kind of how I circle or I aimed this blog around that. Making sure that you are looking into the situation and seeing where you actually went wrong, deleting whatever you did, you know, answering to the community that you wronged, apologizing appropriately, not crying, for the love of all things holy. The people that you hurt are not there to support you and to soothe your feelings. Go to your support system, talk to them about how you're upset with yourself or whatever reason you're crying, and then come back and apologize without tears. Like, the moment for apology is telling this person or the people that you hurt, I'm sorry I did this. I shouldn't have done it. This is what I'm going to do to make it better. Or this is what I'm going to do to not do this again. And that's like the basic pieces of an apology. And that's how you make an apology that really means something. Just saying like, oh, I'm sorry I offended you. I didn't realize I offended. That's not an apology. Please stop. No, it's like, I did this. It was wrong. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not sure I don't do it again. Whether that's educating yourself, hiring for people of different backgrounds so they can check you, because obviously you don't know what you're doing, or like just really educating yourself in different ways is a big way to make sure you're not doing messed up things, essentially. Because I like to hope that people who know better won't mess up.
And I think the important thing is not just to disappear.
Don't do that. Oh my God.
I've seen so many people do that. And it's really, really disappointing. And it really says a lot about your character. And I think we need to not be afraid to screw up. Like, I feel like a lot of us just don't do anything because of the fear of screwing up. But, you know, the only way you learn is by doing it, making a mistake, apologizing, moving forward.
Yes. Like, you will mess up. And the thing you have to make sure you do is, like, you mess up, you apologize, and then don't let it just, like, live on your back the rest of your life. Because
yeah,
that will just bring you down, make you live in a world of fear. Like, learn from it and move on. Mm-hmm. Don't live in that moment forever.
So can you point us in the direction of any businesses that are doing really well with inclusion?
Yeah, so businesses, I really enjoy their approach. Like Rihanna's lingerie brands, Savage Fenty, I really like, they just did a fashion show. And I really like their stance on making sure people of all walks of life are included in the fashion show. She had people with disabilities, people who are using wheelchairs, fat people, thin people, older people, Black people, white people, Latinx people, like everyone you could think of was in this fashion show. And she did not disappoint in making sure everyone was represented. Also, yeah, like the fact that lingerie, especially because you see like Victoria's Secret, which
yes.
is like, ugh. I'm just telling you, this is for special people only. No, as far as, and then there's Savage Fenty, which is telling you this is for everyone to feel confident and sexy in their own way and desirable, which mm-hmm. is not something that people living in marginalized bodies are often told.
Yeah.
And then Ben and Jerry's is also one that I'm really obsessed with. It's like, I didn't like ice cream enough, Ben and Jerry's. their blogs are amazing. I actually signed up for their blogs because they talk about social justice causes, like the school to prison pipeline here in the United States, like police brutality. They talk about all kinds of things, and they somehow tie it into ice cream. And I'm like, how are you guys doing this? It's just amazing to me.
What legends? Like, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, look up their blog. It's amazing. They have all their values front and center on the website. And even their ice cream flavors. I think they have some that are like talking about like opening up the borders and being radical, like progressive and all that stuff and justice. And I think it's called Justice Remix or something like that. But just not really backing down from their values. Like there are some old hippies in Vermont and they're not, you know, stepping back from that. Also Van Sneakers, they did like a, when we had a blackout day, so we weren't supposed to spend any money to show, you know, solidarity with BLM. And they actually put on their website, like, do not purchase from us today.
Wow.
Which I think is a big deal for a retail company, a commerce company to do that. To say, don't purchase from us today. This means something. Come back tomorrow. Which, no, I didn't see anyone else do that. And I couldn't imagine anyone else doing that. And I think that just really means a lot.
Yeah, that's also my thing.
You're putting your money where your mouth is.
I understand that some people may feel fear for putting their values out there. Fear of, you know, having backlash, fear of, you know, having people unfollow them. But do you really want those people to follow you anyway? And
no, you don't.
No, you don't. Because I posted a bunch of Trump memes the other day when he announced he had COVID. And I actually got a few messages from people saying it was inappropriate, that they were going to unfollow me. And I was, really? Yes, I was like, sweet, see you later.
How could you? Okay, I'm not gonna
Yeah, say. And I was like, why were you following me in the first place? And I feel like it was a nice little flush out anyway. And I think Ben and Jerry's is a great example of, you may be thinking, well, what's design got to do with, you know, inclusion? Like, why do I have to speak about my values when I'm have a design business? It is important because it's part of you and it's your business. Just like Ben and Jerry's, they don't have to talk about this shit. They could just be talking about ice cream.
Yes, they don't have to. They don't. They use their platform to make a difference because they know how many people are buying their ice cream. And then people are saying, I'm not buying this anymore. They really did not care.
Yeah, that's right.
The responses on social media are hilarious.
Yes, because your values are more important. Like, do you really want to do design work for someone who is a Trump supporter, who is,
no,
you know?
Really?
Yeah, no. So I think it is.
That sounds so stressful.
Yeah, yeah. And it is an important part of business, talking about your values, talking about what's important to you. And we all want to make a difference. If you don't want to make a difference, why do you have your own business, I would ask you. Like, this is a massive opportunity for us to really, you know, start something.
Yes, definitely start something.
So for all the designers out there who have now listened, hopefully, to our conversation and feel like, yes, I want to jump on the inclusion train, but I have no idea how to start. How can they learn more?
Yeah, I think just making sure you're educating yourself, reading, listening to podcasts, you know, going to webinars, going to events, and really just listening to people who are marginalized and listening to their voices. I've actually launched a course called Inclusion Revolution that goes over marketing and for inclusive businesses. So it goes over reevaluating your mission and your vision and your values and making sure those go into each part of your business as far as your stock photos and your imagery and your messaging and your brand. Every single part of it needs to be accessible to all people, and this course goes over all of that. I'm really excited this is going to be the second launch of it. The last launch was so much fun, especially our weekly calls. I think we ended up really creating a community, and we all just spent a good hour and some change on the phone every week, and it was amazing.
No, I think it's really important. So definitely check out Rhodesia's e-course and start making a difference. Thanks for chatting today, Rhodesia.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Uncool Designer podcast. Head to my website, annadower.com, to download free resources for graphic designer boss ladies.